Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
And there's something important that we got to know is you were just singing a song that there's no place you'd rather be. And I know that this is a difficult concept to grasp. Obviously, in worship, you have this one-on-one moment with God, right? The Holy Spirit inhabits the praises of his people. So when we're worshiping, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times we can spend so much time in that moment in his presence. It's awesome. It's great. And I'm not here to speak highly of myself in any way, shape, or form. Trust me. But I want you to know that when a pastor preaches, it's different, but it's the same thing can happen. God can speak to you even when I fall short, even when my message is maybe not on cue, even when I tell a story that you can't stand, even when I say a word that, kind of throws things off. Whatever it may be, or you just don't like me out the gate, that's fine. But understand, God can still speak to you, and it's not super different than that worship moment, though it's a little bit different, but I want you to know, you're singing, there's no place I'd rather be, so when I'm preaching this morning, don't look at the clock, all right? You sang it, did you mean it, all right? I don't know what time the Packers play, but I don't care. For the whatever fans out there, I went through the whole Aaron Rodgers idolatry stage and it backfired on you, and I prophesied it from the beginning. Maybe listen to the prophet now. Anyway, all right, what God has for you this morning is more important. And that's not because I prepared a message and I'm oh holy. No, I just trust that God has something for you today, even if I fall short. So in that, I want to get into the message today, and I want to talk about we as Christians, and we want to develop this faith. We want to get to a depth in our relationship with God that, we look at the heroes of the faith, right? And we want that. We want to experience that. We want to go through that, or we don't necessarily want to go through that, but we want to become like them. And I already spoiled the problem, but we'll get to that in a moment. See, we want to be like these heroes of the faith, and we want to have this faith that's strong and just this great relationship with God. And we want to go from the salvation cycle, I call it the salvation cycle of sin, get saved, sin, get saved, sin, get saved. And as Hebrews talks about, you should be teachers by now. Because we are all called to witness and to disciple, and that is something that we are to get to. And it's not that we'll ever be ready. But once we start enacting that opportunity that's presented to us and acting on it, being used by God, not just using God, our relationship changes. Now, how do we get there? How do we grow? How do we become that Christian? How do we become that man or woman of faith? I think I have the secret today, but you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it because your flesh is going to rear up. And something that has happened in our culture and in our churches and just we individually in our devotional time and how we perceive things and so on is that we are always going to be influenced by the culture that we live in. No matter how much you shelter yourself, you filter things out, over time, the cultural shift happens. And so this cultural shift of self-centeredness, I mean, that's been around a long time, but it's worse and worse and worse and worse. We start to perceive our faith and our relationship with God with a lot of self-centeredness, right? And with that, we lose out on becoming the Christian we're called to be. And you might be thinking this is just a generic message about selfishness. It's not. There's a very detailed, specific thing, the key that is holding you back from becoming who God has called you to be, that I think we're all guilty of. And it's shifted through the culture and bled into our faith life and our belief and our thought life. And all of a sudden, we label ourselves Christians. We come to church. We spend time in His Word, but we have the wrong perspective. And so I want to shift our perspective this morning. That's really what I want to do. Because have you ever You don't have to raise your hand because some of you, I'm not going to expose you this morning. I'll just talk about myself, okay? But have you ever been driving down the road at what is not what that sign says on the right? It would be over the number that that sign says on the right. And all of a sudden, behind that bush is the all-black car. Oh, no. And is it too late to brake check? Because then I really look guilty. Do I just commit? Or do I go up into sixth gear and see you later? No, I'm just kidding. But what do we do in that moment? And the rush that goes over you, you ever have that? And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my word. And all of a sudden, it's like your neck is just tense and you got an instant headache and you're driving. And you're looking in the rear view like, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't pull out. Please don't. As soon as you see their wheels start to turn, oh, no, 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 no. Again, I'm not going to expose you this morning. It's happened to me a time or two. I'll admit it. I'm not going to expose you, though, so don't cast the first stone, all right? But, you know, there's something in our faith life where we do this. Sin is about to find you out. The repercussions of your actions are at the door. And I think in Psalms, there's prayers where David has talked about, like, ooh, I don't really want to feel the repercussion of my sin. And I'm not just talking about in eternity. I'm talking about on earth. You lied and you got caught, or you're about to get caught. You stole, you're about to get caught. You made a bad decision, you're about to get caught. It's about to go down. And have you, again, you don't have to raise your hands, not going to expose you, but have you prayed the prayer, Lord, please, I'm not going to do this again if you just make it so I don't have to deal with this. Miraculously. I want you to, like a movie, all of a sudden the thought in their brain shifted and they're actually just going to come and talk to me about what we're doing this weekend. And they're not going to tell me, or they're not going to talk to me about the $500 I just spent on a gun. Like, come on, please let my wife not be coming to talk to me about that. Like, come on, I don't know what's going on. Or whatever it is, the lie by omission, right? All these different things that come up and the repercussions of our sins are at the door. Again, not in eternity, right now. I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that prayer. Asking the Lord, please, can I not deal with this right now? I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that. And we plead his grace and mercy upon the situation. But that right there is what is holding you back. That's what's holding you back. What is a test for? Trial and tribulation comes, and not just in those situations, because we're the culprit. But there's other things that happen in our life where we like to blame the other person. Even in those situations, when you are the one that is guilty, you like to blame the other person. It's called gaslighting, right? No, I'm just kidding. But you like to blame the other person. You like to blame something else. Why this happened, it's not my fault. The person that cut me off in traffic, it's not because, again, I'm going over what that sign says. It's because they're whatever name you say behind the wheel of the car. Again, don't expose yourself. It's all these situations and things that happen, and somebody does something to offend me. They might even do something that's outright wrong. And I'm going to blame them. I'm going to look at them. I'm going to say, that's a problem. Something happens to me, a hardship, a struggle. Something happens to me. Perspective, to me. I'm the victim. You got to fix it. You're the problem. There's nothing I can do. We'll blame anything and everything else. We accuse and attack for what they've done to us, and we lose sight about what that moment is really about. And what it's really about is you. And no, not from the victim mentality. You can only control what you can control. Isaiah 48:10 is going to be the main verse that I'm talking about today. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. See, we want this faith that is perfect. But it tells us throughout Scripture, and it tells us right here, that we are refined through the suffering. We are refined through this, through the furnace. Why? Because the refining process is turn up the heat, the imperfections show. And then we weed them out. See, when something happens to you and you want to blame somebody else or something else or the situation, this and that and the other, you are not looking at your imperfections. You're blaming the hammer. You're blaming the furnace. You're blaming the pastor for saying the thing that offended you. You're finding a way out of having to look in the mirror and say, this happened, how did I respond to it? And now that exposes an imperfection in me that I need to deal with. That is what the furnace of affliction does. And that is how God wants to use it. But see, that is how we get through the refining process, becoming something that is worth something. The gold and the silver, throughout Scripture, there's parallels to it and how with God it has its value and it truly is gold. And there's different places that talk about this. But it takes a refining process of finding the imperfections. See, yes, God loves you right where you are. Sure, nothing can separate you from His love, Scripture tells us. But it doesn't mean we stay the same. A belief in God and a belief in His Word is not how you get to heaven. It's a belief in Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. But understanding the belief in Jesus Christ means I believe not just that He came and died, but why He came and died. Because I am imperfect. And we want to run to Daddy. I'm guilty of this. We want to run to Daddy, and we want to say, oh, no, I messed up, but can you spare me the affliction? And we wonder why our faith is worth nothing. It is glorious and wonderful when God spares us. It is a great testimony. It's wonderful. I've been there. I got to be honest, though. It runs out a lot quicker than the moments where I failed and I was found out. That has stuck with me for a lifetime. And it's not that I failed, got found out, and I just stayed down. No, and some of those greatest failures, in those moments, that was the true demonstration of God's grace, the way that people treated me. The way that people treated me when I failed, when I stumbled, when I struggled, the way that they forgave, the way that they met me where I was, but they didn't want to see me stay the same, so they didn't back down and say, you know, it's okay. No, they said, no, it's not okay, but I believe you can do better. And in that, they forgave me, but also instilled in me something greater. And that has stuck with me for a lifetime. You need to not get your way just one time. I'm going to tell you that. You need to not get your way one time. You need to be found out. I'm not preaching doom and gloom over you. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's not what I'm trying to do. But what I'm trying to do is, you say you want a faith greater. You say you want the Holy Spirit to come into your life and transform you and do these things. His Word is clear on how this happens. Yes, it could be done by His blessing, His grace, and His mercy. It brings transformation, absolutely. But through the sanctification process beyond salvation, how do we know when imperfections come up? How do we know what is inside of me? When life is good, I behave well. When life is terrible, things come out. Things come out. What was that doing in there? In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. It is true, because it is in God's Word. There's no way around it. And I'm not taking it out of context. There's no context that's going to get you out of this. You're mad, you're upset, you're frustrated, you're annoyed. Whatever it is, the words that come out of your mouth is showing what's truly in there. And as much as you want to, well, it's their fault for aggravating me. It's their fault for making me angry. It's their fault for frustrating me. It's because God just doesn't give me a break. Uh-oh. You come to church on Sunday, you listen to the podcast, you listen to the sermons, you listen to the worship music in your car, and you sing the songs, you pray the prayers, you read the verses about strengthening your faith, but then all you want to do is avoid the process. It's a hard road. But it's worth it to get there. This is not some prosperity gospel, as you can tell. God's grace, love, and mercy and blessing be upon you. I believe that. I declare that. I ask for that in my life. We can glorify him, and we can give him praise for that, but it's the same reason why a majority of lottery winners go bankrupt. Get all that money at one time, and it's more than enough money you could spend in a lifetime. Yeah, right. Watch them go. We're here soaking in his presence and his Holy Spirit, and these things are great and they are good, but it is like the parable about the good steward. It's like the parable in the Bible that talks about the master gave some talent to one, some talent to another, and some talent to another. One went and buried it. One invested it and got a little back. One invested and got a ton back. When they came back to the master, they said, look. The one that buried it went and dug it up and said, look. And he said, you did nothing with what I gave you. I'm paraphrasing some of the story. Thanks, Dave. You've been given something, and you got the talent in this scripture verse. You've got the grace, you've got the love and the mercy, you got the teaching, you got the opportunity, you got the Bible on your phone 24/7, you got all the worship music, you got all the podcasts, you got worship music that goes from genre to genre, so you don't just have to listen to hymns. Imagine if that was the only form of worship still. Once was, but now it's not. So what is the excuse? We have all of this stuff, but what are we doing? We're just taking it and burying it because we're afraid? Instead of the risk. Well, what is the risk? The risk is this. You get not what you want. Your flesh wants something. You desire something. I want the blessing from God. I don't want the refining from God. You cannot have one without the other. And what is proved by Scripture and through time, what is more valuable than the earthly blessings that are actually all they are is just earthly material things that we label as blessings from God? Like, I'm not saying I don't believe you when you tell me that your brand new car is a blessing from God. I'm not saying I don't believe you when you make a butt ton of money and you say it's a blessing from God. How you use it can be a blessing to God. I'm not saying I don't believe that. But I don't think there's too much proof that God and money is the only way he blesses his people. I would say if we end up with a faith as great as the Hall of Fame of faith, that's worth more than the money that we deem as a blessing. And guess what? You say that. You say it. You sing it. You read about it. You might even journal it. But when push comes to shove in that moment and the police car starts turning their wheels to pull out and chase you down, you pray the prayer. Because the risk is too great to stare in the mirror and realize you have fallen short. You have failed. You are not who he has called you to be. We don't want to look at that. We want his grace and his mercy, but we don't really want to talk about what I did wrong. Conversations with my wife. I'm going to talk about me this time. I'm not going to talk about her. When she points out something I did wrong, don't be pointing fingers. Don't be pointing fingers, Rock. When she points out something I did wrong, you know what I want to do? Okay, sorry, let's move on. Let's move on. I'll fix it. Don't worry about it. She hates when I say that. She hates when I say, don't worry about it. I got it. And what I mean is in my head, I know I did something wrong. I know how to fix it. So just, can we not dwell on it? You're making me look in the mirror at my big flaw. Who wants to do that? Who wants to do this? Why I wear a shirt when I shower? No, I'm just kidding. But oh, you laugh, but some of you relate. Anyway, okay. I'm just kidding. I've been preaching in the youth for like 3 weeks, so my filter is really off right now. There are jokes that I say on Wednesdays that I wouldn't say on Sunday, and that, you know, might be one of them. Anyway, but reality is we don't want to sit there and look at our greatest flaw. We don't want to look where we've been going wrong. Even when it comes to meeting with God, the gracious God of the universe who loves you, gave his son. For some reason, we would rather just say, okay, forgive me, move on. But I'll tell you what, it's the reason why the famous phrase is, you know, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. You don't want to look at your past. You don't want to look at your history. You don't want to look at where you went wrong and struggle. And I'm not saying you should dwell there. It's like my daughter, who was like 1.5 or 2. My wife made a hot cup of tea and turned her back. Oh, yeah. Poured down her mouth, down the front of her. I was traumatized, let alone how she was feeling. This is the Lord's grace that she, there's no scarring, nothing or anything like that, which is crazy because she had crazy burns. But imagine if she did that and it didn't hurt. Is she ever going to learn? She's not going to learn the lesson. She's not going to learn it. Yet, how are we going to learn and grow in our faith when we refuse to look at our sin and what it cost? How are we going to grow? How are we going to be changed? How are we going to be different? The heart is deceitful above all things. So these feelings and these wants and these desires that we have that stem from our heart and all these different things, it's one of the reasons why Scripture talks about hiding his word in our heart so that we can change that. I hide my word, or I hide your word in my heart so I may not sin against you. See, the trick to that is that's why I hide his word in my heart, because if my heart is left without his word, I don't know what to do, and I go where I want, and I follow it. The good old 90s Disney. And I just follow my heart. But unless I take his word and hide it in my heart, it will be deceitful above all things. And when push comes to shove, when the person cuts you off, when the person says something offensive, when the person challenges you, when there's something that comes up, and it could even be the wrongest of wrongs. Somebody gossiped about you. Somebody spread lies about you. Somebody mistreated you. Somebody called you something horrendous. It might be justified to be mad. It still brings something out of you, and you need to look at it. If the answer is not forgiveness and keep moving forward, it's not what his word says. So I need to look at how I respond. It is not my job to police my neighbor and their sin. There are times where we are called to confront. There are times where we are called to intervene and instruct the person next to us. Yes, I'm not saying never, but you better study in detail on when that is. Otherwise, it is not your job to police them, because then all you have is a plank in your eye. And it means nothing. We are refined in the furnace of affliction. It is why over the last couple weeks, ever since the heinous murder of Charlie Kirk happened, that so many people are opening their hearts and their eyes to going to church. They are because of the death of one man. But that one man did what he did because of the death of one man. And I love seeing people speak up for the death of Charlie Kirk and against his murder. But let's see the same energy about our Lord Jesus Christ. And understand this, I'm not using Charlie Kirk as some whatever. That's not what I'm saying, but it's opened the door, and all of a sudden we have people seeking and searching for churches and searching for answers, and they are looking. What are you going to do, and who are you going to be as they look? Are you a person of faith, or are you a person of lukewarm? You don't attend a seeker-sensitive church, but you behave seeker-sensitive to yourself. You're very sensitive to yourself and my needs. Well, I have this mental thing. I have this past trauma. I have this stuff. I'm not belittling trauma. I got plenty of my own. But if I just sit there in that, you will never get to where God called you to be. He delivered you from your trauma. He delivered you from whatever the diagnosis is. That, yes, it affects your life and you got to deal with stuff every day. But it does not mean that you are meant to sit there and you have an excuse. I do not care what is genetic or not. You are delivered and you are called apart from this world, and you have been delivered from the things of this world so that you can live in a life that overcomes sin. But we cannot overcome sin if there was no looking at the cost. We cannot overcome it because then we don't look at it as a problem. Mom and Dad buy my meals every single time we go out, so I never look at the bill. So then every time I go out, I don't look at the bill. Until I finally had to pay it myself. And that's what happens. Jesus foots the bill for you every time your sin is knocking at the door. And he delivers you. And he delivers you. And he delivers you. But there is a time where the furnace of affliction, so that sin can come out of you. God wants that sin out of your life. And so you know what? That door is going to open one time and sin's going to be there. And you're going to be like, oh, that's what it cost. And when things cost you something, it changes you. You start paying the electric bill, yeah, you turn those lights out like Dad used to tell you. You bet. And my wife might be calling me a little bit of a liar right now because she still turns the lights off after me, but I promise you I was going back in there in just 2 seconds. But it's true, you're a little more conscious, you're a little more aware once you know the cost. I am not saying that we should not go to God for his grace and his mercy. But the reality is this, some of you will be going through this life and you will be continuously using the never-ending bank of God's grace and mercy and love and forgiveness all the way to the point where you get to the end and you get to the afterlife and you realize you were not the Son of God that you thought you were, or the daughter of God that you thought you were. Scripture warns us. Scripture warns us of this. It's time to figure it out and change your life. Change the way you act. Change the way that you respond to things. Quit blaming it on some past trauma. Get help. I'm not saying come up to the altar and just expect a miracle and transform your brain. You know what? Find a Christian counselor. Come meet with a pastor. Put in the work. There's nothing wrong with that. But refusing to deal with it and just say, this is the way that I am. I'm going to sit here. What? What are we? Have you seen the movie WALL-E? That's what we're turning into as a Christian nation. Just floating around. Floating around on machines that drag us everywhere because we're too weak and obese to do it. And I'm not talking about literal physical Obesity. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. I could not think of the word. What I'm talking about is this. In Scripture, knowledge puffs up. You come to church, you do the devos, you do the podcast, and you got a lot of gospel up here. You got a lot of His word, but it hasn't made its way down here. And knowledge puffs up, aka the obesity I was talking about, the spiritual puffed upness. Just to clarify. But it says, love builds up. Love. God is love. There's not a love that builds up other than that. Through this time of people finding churches and things, I've had discussions with people, and I've encouraged them that how to find a church that you should be plugged in at. And I, you know, there's very little care that I have to what church you attend. I'm not sitting here saying, no, attend this church, all the other ones. No, that's not what I'm here to say. I care about you getting fed and seeing you on the other side. So when I tell you this, it's not biased to where we are, though I think this church does a good job of it. So this is it. Attend a full gospel-believing church. Number one. Full gospel. They believe everything the word says. They don't take contextual liberties to change what it says about any of the popular things that make the doors more open to people. Full gospel believing church and preaching and teaching church. The next thing is you got to get fed well, which stems straight from the full gospel. So make sure they feed you. But make sure you don't just attend a church that never offends you. And I'm not just talking about the people in the pews offend you. Guess what? You're in a house full of sinners. It's going to happen. If I go into a frat house with a bunch of dudes who had a little too much sweet juice, I'm probably expecting to leave with a black eye. So when you get into a house full of sinners, expect to get a little mud on you. That's why we need to be ready and gracious and understanding that God forgave us, we can forgive others. Okay, you're not getting out of here clean. It's just the way that it is. But understand this, that you will be offended because you're being challenged. Now, you can be offended by something that is outright offensive and not worth offense, that they shouldn't have said or done or whatever. And that's not right either. Something that goes against Scripture and a pastor says it, and all of a sudden, that's getting to where, nuh-uh, we don't do that. That's not a place you want to be. But if they're preaching the full gospel and you become offended by something that is said, like this morning, if there's something I'm sharing and it's touched a little bit of a raw nerve, I'm not too concerned because I'm here to tell you it's your flesh responding. And I'm not sitting there to scapegoat me. Trust me, write me another letter. Write me an email. That's fine. I read them. I read them and I look where I need to improve. Okay? Now, if you didn't like my joke earlier, that was a good one. I don't care. But understand this. The church is going to challenge you, and your flesh will want to respond. And so there's times where you're going to be offended. It doesn't mean go find a new church. It means I need to spend some time with God, and I need to figure this out. Was it aligned with Scripture? Was it not? And if it was, okay, that's where the affliction, the furnace of affliction came in, and it's exposing something in me that I need to deal with. I need to quit looking at the world through the lens of it's their fault. I need to look at the lens of what did that expose in me and how do I fix it? The next thing is you need to look for a church that gives you opportunity to serve and calls you to disciple and witness to others. That is like the foundation of finding a church. The foundation of finding a church. Obviously, there's more little tiny details of whatever else, but I'll tell you what, the color of this and this and the whole backdrop look and whether or not there's pews or chairs and all this stuff, if that makes your list over anything I just said, you are foolish. You are foolish, and you are looking for exactly what I'm telling you not to do. You're looking for ways to sit in who you are and feed the flesh. Because see, through this modern-day Christianity that does this, I want you to know something. It's scary. There's a little bit of your flesh, which we're called to crucify it all. right? It's supposed to be dead and buried with Jesus. And we rise again as a new creation. But through this modern day stuff, there's a little bit of your flesh that gets covered by I'm a Christian, and it doesn't get crucified. It doesn't. Because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian. There's certain things in my life that are justified and they're okay. And I just hold on to it. And it doesn't, you know, if somehow by some miracle the Packers lose today. See, some of you, look at that. What was your reaction? Look at what's inside of you. You think I'm joking? I did it for a very specific reason. I've seen some of you at sporting events. I've seen some of you watch the Packer game. I've seen your social media after they lose. What comes out of your heart? But see, that's justified. Well, because I'm Wisconsin and we're Packer fans and it's what we do. It's just fun. It's just da-da-da-da-da. And we cover it instead of understanding that, you know what? It's just a football game. Are you going to go to heaven and go to God and say, yeah, I didn't crucify that area of my flesh because it's football? It's the same way me with driving. Well, God, they cut me off. So that gave you the justification to say what you said. Well, each one of us, there are things that happen in our life that will expose us. Proverbs 17:3, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. Hebrews 12:10-11, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Spare the rod, spoil the child. We've heard that verse. We've used it probably to excuse behavior that's not necessarily holy towards our kids. Beside the point, what it's talking about is not spoiled as in I give them everything they want. Because that would kind of contradict the other verse that talks about, you know, how your earthly father gives you everything they can. How much greater can your heavenly father give you? So it's not talking about giving things to your kids or God giving things to you. What it's talking about is not that kind of spoiling. It's talking about spoiled as in spoiled milk. You are without purpose. You are past your date of usefulness. So the moment that discipline doesn't come in and we are not trained by it, as it says in Hebrews, that we are trained out of this and we are disciplined out of this, though it's unpleasant at the time, the affliction we experience at the time is unpleasant, the furnace is unpleasant, it will yield righteousness to make us more holy like God, who he's called us to be. But the moment that we do not go through that process, our faith, we wonder why it's weak. Well, it's because we've been spoiled. We pray against the discipline of God in our life. And we believe in our self-discipline. Well, if I just get up and run and eat right and read and do these things that are so healthy and so awesome, well, then I'm going to be living a great life as a Christian. Physical fitness profits man little, but righteousness profits him all the time. That's what the Word says. It's not that you can't take care of your temple and the body and all that. That's great and wonderful. But if righteousness profits you all the time, discipline is the key. The furnace of affliction is the key. So we could be physically fit, but spiritually weak. So your self-discipline is not going to get you there. It takes the Father's discipline. He will not break you. He knows how to discipline with love, grace, and mercy. The final verse that I'll read is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That your faith, tested for genuineness, what overflow comes out of the heart will be praise and worship and honor. You want to get there? I'm sorry to tell you, it's going to take some, I'm trying to think of how to word it. Can't say that. It's going to take some hardship from the earthly standard. This ties into a message I shared a long time ago about wisdom and how we all want to gain wisdom, but through the teachings of Scripture and Proverbs, wisdom comes from hardship. And how we measure our earthly success is by all these material things, but we are called to measure spiritual success. Do not confuse it with material things. You are not spiritually healthy because you have all of this money and all of these things. Like I said, the things that you say are blessings from God. Measure your spiritual health by what comes out of you in the furnace. Are you going through it? Are you being refined? Are you being changed? You want that faith of the Hall of Famers. You got to be refined. You got to be in the furnace. And it's not easy. It's hard. But there's another in the fire. You're not alone. So some of you, this will hit. You'll understand it. And you will pray a dangerous prayer that opens the floodgates of affliction. Some of you will hear this, be offended, and keep living your lukewarm life. That's fine. Some of you, you won't hear it, you won't understand it, and you'll keep living your life, and you're going to keep missing out, and you're going to keep doing the things that gratify the flesh, feeling like life is good. But there will come a day where you make an appointment to sit in my office, or whatever pastor's next. If I'm not here, I don't know. There will come a day where the door will open and your sin will find you out and you won't know what to do and it'll wreck you and you'll be wondering what's going on and you'll be spinning your wheels. Guess what? You'll still be met with the grace of God. He'll be right there to love you. But, oh, man, how nice would it be to be ahead of the game? To heed the warning. So you can stand up all over this room. We're going to pray. I encourage you to say your own prayer where you are. If you feel like praying that dangerous prayer. But what I want you to do is I really want you to take time today to look where you've been blaming and scapegoating and you are just the victim to life circumstances. And I want you to shift your perspective and start looking at what did this thing expose in me? Instead of this thing was so bad and so awful and miserable, I can't stand it, I can't believe that happened to me. No, it happened. You can't change it. No matter how much you complain, it's not going to change. So what can change? Me. So the next time something happens, I'm unbreakable. I want you to take time today to look at that. Really, really, really change your perspective. Because like I said, this is the key to going from the weak in faith to the Hall of Famer of faith. Like the ones we look at and we want to be like. It takes something to get there. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time you have taken for us, Lord. met us here where we are. I pray, Lord God, that the seeds that were planted today would produce fruit, that we would glorify you in what we have done today, that our perspective would truly shift and the Holy Spirit would come in and guide us into all truth and convict us where we need convicting, and that no trap from the enemy such as condemnation would seep in and ruin and choke out what the fruit you have planted to grow is, Lord God. That we would be alive in Christ and dead to our sin. That we would stop playing games because of this, that, and the other, and making up excuses about this person did this person did that, I witnessed this, I saw that. God, will we put it aside, and will we come to you and know that you are good, you are great, and I want to be in relationship with you, and the only way that is possible, the only way to experience that never-ending relationship is to put my flesh aside, Father, and start living for you. So, Lord God, for those brave enough, would they walk into the furnace of affliction and truly and genuinely not be afraid, but look at what comes up, what comes out, and that they would start to go through the process of refining, becoming more pure and holy by your glory and your goodness. We give you all the glory, Father. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.